it is the first week of Advent, and depending, different people come up with different definitions of what Advent is all about, but it's broken into the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, and those are given hope, peace, joy, and love as the kind of main titles that cover them. So today is hope. And I'm never going to apologize or get tired of speaking about hope, because without it, we're lost. You know, we are those people who should be overflowing with hope in every situation. And, you know, Jesus is the hope of the world. You know, him coming and dwelling with us is the most hope-filled message that we can speak about. Romans 15, we won't have the verses, you might have to get your Bibles out or your phones out. Romans 15 and verse 13, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." A few months ago, I preached from this verse as well, and I brought out, may God, the source of all hope, is another translation of it, fill you with joy and peace. God knows what we need. He knows we need peace for this time of the year. But actually, more than that, we need hope. We need hope that it maybe won't be like last year. Who had a fantastic Christmas last year and wants to repeat it? Yes? And who had one which they'd rather forget and is hoping that it won't be the same as this time? Anyone? No? You're all wonderful families full of lovely people, I'm sure. Advent calendars. I've got a very special Advent calendar this year, which is full of single malt whiskies. And suddenly my friend quota seems to have gone through the roof. I've got people from all over saying, I can help you out a little bit. But anticipation, Advent, it's the anticipation of it means coming. It means something's about to arrive. Something is on its way. And anticipation, it changes the focus of what it's about. I was a bit distracted here this morning because Leslie, who's Leon's auntie, was coming. So knowing that she was going to be here, I was looking out for her. I was checking my phone to see if she'd made it. We're in a different place. It changes your focus. It changes your perspective when you're expecting something and when you're expecting someone. If you have visitors or if you have guests coming to your house, your focus is suddenly on them. It changes your outlook. You're no longer thinking about the ordinary things. I don't know about you, but in our house, it means the house gets tidied up just that little bit more than it would be. I mean, we're all the same, aren't we, you know? The toilet gets another quick special clean, you know. I'm a little bit disappointed when the toilet gets cleaned and the guest doesn't use it, you know. I feel like, are you sure you don't want to use the toilet just before you go, you know? It is very clean in there. But we do things differently when we're anticipating. And I believe that God wants us to do things differently in this season. It doesn't just want to be the same, going over the same things, expecting the same things, because it needs to be infused with hope. And then as you have that hope for each of the situations that you're going to encounter, the other emotions will come in, joy and peace. It's interesting that in the list of Advent, it's hope, that then peace, then joy, and then love. It's an interesting order on that. When your expectation changes your actions, I've talked about some of those actions, but yesterday I was out in the garden, and the reason I'm cleaning up the garden and clearing it and cutting back the bushes and pulling away the stuff is because I'm expecting that in the spring it's going to start growing again. So if you'd never seen a season go through, you'd never seen a change of a season, you would want to hold on to the last vestiges of all the flowers and plants that you've got, because you think, wow, they're fading away. But when you know that you're anticipating the new season coming in, actually you're already preparing, and really in many ways it's all there. If you want to do this, go out into your garden if you've got a tree in your garden and look at it carefully, because actually all the buds for spring are there. They're all sitting really nestled in really, really tightly, waiting for the right environment, and then they will burst forth. But it's already there. It's already happening. And actually, part of knowing that God is way ahead of you brings hope, that you say, God, you've already put in place the things that I need. Prayer is not an exercise in trying to persuade God to do things for you. If that is your motivation in prayer, and if that is your experience in prayer, then let me challenge you. That's not it, people. God, it says, stoops down to make you great. He got up this morning to make my day the best it could be. I didn't have to pray that into existence. Well, you haven't prayed yet, and it's not going to work until I get a few prayers. That's not his attitude. His attitude is, you know what? I have got everything that you need. I've designed this so that it's all there, ready. And that understanding should bring hope, that in every situation, God has already got the answer, the solution. And why he chooses not to reveal it instantaneously to you, that's for him to know. I mean, you could say, why did Jesus come 2,000 years ago? But the Bible says he came at exactly the right time. And you just have to choose to believe that God knows better than you do about the timing of things. But it's not, his motivation is never in question. He is constantly wanting to do you good because he's a loving father. You know, we've got little Jacob, and we had Jacob and Jesse dedicated last week. When you're pregnant, you're anticipating. You start doing things differently. You start going and researching how expensive prams are. And thinking, what? I could buy a car for that amount. But, you know, but you start decorating bedrooms. You start anticipating. And that's what Advent is about. But it can't just be, for us, it can't just be the celebration of Christmas. It has to be so much more. Hope lifts your head. It takes you out of the short term, and it lifts you up, and it lifts your heart. It changes your emotions. You know, where there is an ounce and an amount of hope, things start to change. And that's what God wants to pour into us today. Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. Says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he is calling you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And this verse in verse 19, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. So the hope that you starts to bubble, a bit like it was with Pete, starts to bring to you an understanding of his incomparable great power. I was talking to someone this week, and they were talking about their family and saying, oh, you know, I just wish my family could get what I have, where they could see God the way I've seen him. And I was able to say, yeah, but go back a few years, and that was you in that situation. That was you who were lost, without hope, without God. And he broke in, and he changed you. And he did the impossible for you, so why is he not going to do it for your family? And so we look, and we kind of think, oh, it's impossible. How are they ever going to find out? How are they ever going to get to know? You know what? God is on their case, and part of his encouragement to us today is that his incomparable great power is at work. And just part of hope and part of changing our perspective of hope is to say, God, I believe that. I trust in you. I believe that you're going to do something in that situation. Colossians 1 verse 27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want to just touch on this more than anything, I suppose, as a concept for Christmas. Verse 27 says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The challenge is that the Israelites, the nation, was waiting for a Messiah. And although it says in Isaiah, the people in darkness have seen a great light, in the beginning of John, it says some of them didn't get it. Even though this light came into their life, they didn't get it. But it says to those who received him. And there is a difference between an acknowledgement of God, an acknowledgement of Jesus, an acknowledgement that you're in the same room as an individual, and something completely different. That word in John, which says to those who received him, it's those who actually actively took hold of him and took him kind of into them. I don't know about you, but you can probably, I'm going to give you a bit of a giveaway, a few secrets. If you give someone a present this Christmas and they look at it, smile sweetly, say thank you very much, and then put it to the side, you probably get an indication that it might not be their favorite thing. If they grab a hold of it, tear it open, and put it on, if it's something to be put on, you know, wow, they're excited about this. I gave Ian a set of waterproof covers for his cycling shoes. And being Ian, as only Ian can, my brother-in-law, he puts them on. Oh, this is great. And he's zipping them up and he's looking around. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about those who took a hold of Jesus, those who understood, those who realized that there was something in them that was not functioning properly, and Jesus was the solution. And it is Christ in us that is the hope of glory. It's not the knowledge of Christ. It's not the knowledge of how good he is. It's not the knowledge of how wise he was or what he did or how wonderful the miracles were. It is whether we are prepared to acknowledge that we are broken and the only thing that will fix it is Jesus in us. It isn't doing things for Jesus. It isn't trying to be better for Jesus. It isn't trying to follow his example. It isn't reading necessarily more Bible verses. It is understanding that it's Christ in us that is the hope of glory. That whole thing of Emmanuel, God with us, it needs to go further than he's together with us, and it needs to be he is in us. We are not able to function the way that God wants us to function in this world unless Christ is in us. And it is a mystery. It says here it's a mystery. But I will kind of bang on about it because to honest, if you read most of the New Testament, apart from the Gospels, they're banging on about it. That is what they are constantly saying. You know what? It is Christ in us. Jesus himself in John 16 and 32 says, in this life there will be trouble. How many of you can agree with that statement? Yeah. Okay. So Christianity is not the avoidance of trouble. And if that's, again, what you want Jesus to do, your expectation and your anticipation will be, why hasn't he done the things that I want him to do to get me out of trouble? The challenge is, this verse about Christ being in us is made real when there are troubles. If you don't need, there are some people who say, well, I don't need Jesus. And I say, well, good. that I'm glad for you that your life is going so well and you've got everything you need and you're in total harmony and all your relationships are great, because, you know, that's an amazing thing. But for me, I need Jesus, because the bit in me that is not functioning, it's like, I don't know, you know, some of you might have a phone and it needs to be reset back to factory settings. You know, it kind of gets rid of everything, but actually sometimes it starts working again the way it should, and you think, oh, that's what it's like when Jesus, and when we get that Christ in us, ultimately we start to experience what we were designed for in the first place. That word that says in John 16:32, it says, I've told you all these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have overcome the world. He doesn't say, I'm going to help you overcome the world. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. And so if he's in us, we get to overcome the world with him in us. That word, take heart, means radiate warm confidence. I like that. Some of you will know, and I will probably keep telling you, of my tanglings with the marine lake. This week, it was cold. I mean, cold is a relative term, but the thermometers read somewhere between 2 and 6 degrees. That is cold. What comes out your cold tap is about 8 degrees. So half that. So I got in. swam back. To be fair, as I was coming back, I was starting to get a little bit confused, which is one of the symptoms of swimming in freezing cold water. You're like, yeah, kind of my mind is not, I know I should be heading in that direction, but I don't really, you know. So then you get out. That's only half the thing. Then you get out and you've got to get warm again. And so, I have a little thermos flask, and you start thinking, because actually what you need is some warmth inside you. Now, it took a little while until I was radiating warmth. I would say probably a day and a half. So that's what this world does to you. Cold water sucks heat out of you 32 times faster than cold air. But it was, the air temperature was about 5 degrees anyway, and it was blowing a gale. So even when you got out, you were getting cold again. But this world sucks hope out of you like you wouldn't believe. And actually, people suck hope out of you. And unless you are filled with the God of all hope, you're going to struggle. It doesn't matter how good your quiet time was or your worship cassettes are. You're going to struggle if it's not Christ in you, the hope of glory. Take heart also means bolstered from within. So what Jesus is saying here, and he says all the way through once you get it, you can do nothing. You can't do any of this stuff. It's me in you that can do it all. And some of us, as we go into this next season and look forward, need to know, you know what? Without him, I can do nothing. It's a good place to get to the fact that you cannot do anything without him. But with him, anything is possible. To those who received him, Romans. I was interested with those words, because it says, I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. If you read these scriptures, it says, in Christ we were raised. And you can put that back in a different thing, saying that God believes in you. And you know what? He knows that you in Christ were raised from the dead. It's no longer the old life you're living. It's a new born again life that you're living because he's in you. And you know what? Jesus Christ is Lord. So that statement in itself, rather than it's easy for me to say, a proclamation about God is also a proclamation about us. That if we understand this mystery, that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Glory, that word glory, and it can be described in all sorts of different ways, but it's a unity with God. Ultimately, it's a connection with the very essence. It's back to who we were supposed to be. We were never designed to be disconnected from God. And once we were, instantaneously we disconnected from each other, and we continue to struggle to get connection with each other whilst simultaneously avoiding a connection with God. If you understand that bit of you is broken, and it can only be operated from the inside, it's not an external thing. I was trying to think of an example. It's like going to the petrol station and having your car there, which is on empty, and then filling up 10 jerry cans of petrol and putting them beside your car, and then wondering why your car isn't working. Well, I've got the fuel, and I've got the car. Yeah, doesn't work that way. It only works when the fuel is in the car. Christianity only works when Christ is in us. It doesn't work when we are trying to be good or when we're trying to change our behavior. All of those things, the good news is you can give up on because they're probably wearing you out really, you know, and causing you a lot of heartache, and you're making you feel either guilty or proud about the things that you are or aren't doing. We need comes from placing Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, at the heart of ourselves. And that's what the excitement about Christmas. It wasn't about Jesus being born in a manger and being cute, you know. I'm sure he was cute. And it wasn't about him growing up and doing fantastic miracles, however good those were. They were just a kind of, not an afterthought, but just an addition to who he was, just naturally overflowing. The statement in John says, you believe at last. It was when the disciples understood that it was going to be about a connection with the Father, just like Jesus had it, and it was going to be empowered by Jesus. And the mystery of the entire New Testament is that we are to take Jesus and apply him to our lives by inviting him to be the missing piece in us, and then making that the power source for everything that we do. And yeah, my heart for us is, as we are in this Advent season, is that anticipation, well, you know, it doesn't need to be anticipation because you don't need to wait. You don't need to wait until you get to the end of the Advent calendar before you can do this. You know, it's just a simple, God, I'm not working very well, and I want to be fixed. I'm broken, and I want to be made whole, and I want you to start becoming that power source that changes everything. I live with quite a bit of hope. Naturally, Pete said he's not overly enthusiastic. Naturally, I'm kind of designed to think positively and the best. But I think probably as I've got older, I've realized that was a finite resource. And I am finding myself in more situations requiring, and it's good for me, that to have situation after situation after situation where I can't generate hope from nowhere. I can't just sort of say, it'll be okay. And actually, it's kind of meaningless. It's just trying a positive confession. What I've realized is, as I turn to God, the God of all hope floods in. And when he floods in, there is nothing that this world can do to change my hope. It will not be stolen away. Romans 15, may the God, the source of all hope, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This world needs us. Not to put on a Christmas play or to hand out mince pies or to do anything. This world, this dark world needs us to do what God said, which is when he places his light in us, we start to shine. And we shine like stars in the darkness. And the essence and the stuff that we're going to shine in this dark world is hope. We're going to overflow with hope. And it's only as you start moving into the troubled world and you get tangled up with it that you need hope. I mean, Claire, some neighbours of Dave and Claire's, their little boy has got Crohn's disease. He's taken into hospital. His stomach isn't working. He can't digest any food. He's starting to die, ultimately. And what do you do as two people who believe in a God of hope? You have to go to the source of all hope, and you have to get something tangible that not only you believe, but that you can tangibly give to that situation. And so, Claire, bravely, first of all, good to see you, bravely said, okay, God, what do you think about this situation? And she received a picture from God of angels dancing around the hospital bed. That brings hope, boom, to Claire and to Dave. Well, that's great, but we still haven't got hope to Tammy and Steve. So it requires another act of trusting in him to start to overflow. And yeah, Claire goes to them and says, you know what, you might not believe this, but this is what God gave me when I was praying for you today. And Tammy's response is, I needed some hope today. Hallelujah. And that's everyone's response. There's no one out there who doesn't need some hope today. And then from that point, he's turned around and he started to suck on Quavers and he started to get his body working and he came back from school for a little while and it's good. He's back out of... So that's great. Except that yesterday Tammy's mum died. So again, you think, oh, we've just got through one thing. And that, unfortunately, is the nature of life, that one thing after another hits people around you and hits you. And we have got to be those who have got more than enough. And the way that we get more than enough is that we have a limitless supply. It's called Jesus. And not only is there a limitless supply, but there is a limitless attitude to want to give. That I have never encountered God when he hasn't wanted to give me more than I asked or expected. And therefore, it's as we draw on that, it's as we understand that that's what we're put here for. This is, yes, there needs to be some health in ourselves, but primarily this needs to be us taking that light into this world and saying, not only have I got enough light for myself, but I've got enough light to illuminate you. And you know what? You can have this light as well. You know, the beginning of John says, Jesus, the light of the world. And if you're going to get, and I'll probably talk about this on at Christmas time a little bit, if you're going to get a little bit into physics, light is energy. Light is nature's way of transmitting energy. And I believe that in a divine way, the energy that we need for every part of life is transmitted to us by the vehicle of Christ in us, Jesus in us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, I know I'm talking to... on the one hand, I'm talking to the converted in quite a good way. But unless you can demonstrate what you believe, you just have it in your head. Unless you are those carriers of hope into this dark world, you only have it as a theory. And however good a theory it is, it has yet to become real. And it's knowing the truth and then the truth setting you free in these areas. And so I want to pray for us that if there's an area where we are hopeless, where we have given up hope, that we invite God to be the source of the hope that we need. It may be a family member. It may be a financial situation. It's only as you trust God. It's interesting. There's a whole debate on robots at the moment. I love robots. I want a robot that will make tea for me. And I'm not looking at Tanya because tea for us. At the moment, I am that robot. See how easily they decide with away. No, we all make tea. We all love making tea. I love. Anyway, that's not. It's not about tea. It's not about tea. It's about robots. The difficulty is what happens if we get robots that are more intelligent than we are. And that's going to happen. Yeah. Well, that has happened in the past. We've all experienced that. This little chap here has someone in his life who is far more intelligent and has a greater perspective than he does, and that's Amy. So the only question is, does Amy love Jacob? Because if she does, then what's the problem? Everything she does will be for his good. The only question when we see robots or artificial intelligence getting more intelligent than us is, what does it think of us? Now, we paint a negative picture because we think it's going to destroy us. You know, and that may be the case. But when we look to God, we know that everything he is for us and not against us. With him in our lives, there is nothing that we can't do or can't... Yes, you're getting it, Jacob, yeah. Good, well, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you have more than enough hope for each one of us. And Lord, I know that this is a challenging subject because it can be easy to say and so hard to go back to that situation and think, I can't muster up hope for that situation. But Lord, you're not asking us to. You're asking us to receive it in the same way as we open those Advent calendars and we receive. Lord, today you're asking us to receive hope from you. And I would just ask you, just open your hands up as though someone's going to place. It was fantastic today to be getting given Palma violets throughout the thing. And that's God's heart to us. When we open our hands, and he's ready. He's already got something to give us. And when we anticipate receiving, he's already got something to give us. And Lord, I just thank you that you're going to place into each one of our hands a measure of hope. A gift of faith. Father, that we can take to the situation that you know we're thinking about now. And Lord, before we do or say anything, we need to get that emotion, receive that hope, and be changed. And Father, I just pray that you would touch each one of us. We'd feel the weight of that. We'd feel it changing us. We'd feel it relieving the pressure. We'd feel it lightening the load. And Father, as we continue to look to you for that hope, transform us, renew our thinking. Let's start to get excited that there is so much more of this that you can give for every situation. And we believe in your incomparable power to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We don't dictate to you how you do what you do, but we know that and we believe that you're a God who wants to do good in every one of these situations. You love our family more than we do. You love us. You love our neighbors and our friends. You know our situation intimately. And in each of these, you've got hope. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.